you very much, Ken Smith.
You're welcome very much.
No, we mean it, Ken. Thank you very much.
I know you do.
Very legit. We're going to send a fruit basket to you in the newsroom.
Ooh, thank you.
You like mangoes?
I love
mangoes. Everyone loves mangoes.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Get ready for that.
It's the bonus hour.
It's the bonus hour. That other half hour is like the limbo half hour because it's not quite the regular show.
Rush
it's
limbo?
No. That should be a character.
Yes, it should.
It should do. Are you still sending a demo tape to SNL? That should be one of your characters on there.
And there could always be like what the music whenever he appears. Dun 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 dun.
Yes.
Dun 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 dun.
Do that. Oh, you're a shoo-in for the show. Hi, guys. It's the bonus hour. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. We're thrilled that you're listening. On the regular show, we started talking about the Guinness Book of World Records a little while ago because the 2020 edition of that book comes out today. Are you going to head over to Barnes & Noble and pick one up as soon as the show's over?
No, because you can find all this stuff online.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, I hate to say that.
No, it's true. It's very, very true. Every once in a while, I'll find out about a book, and I'll say to myself, I have got to get that book. There was one I just heard about the other day that's, and again, I know that this exists online, but it's a whole book of things about Disney that you're not supposed to know. And I have a book like that.
Yeah, you told me the name of the book that you had, the first one.
Inside the Mouse or something
like
that?
Yeah, something like that.
I love that stuff. So I got to find that book.
Well, you don't have a laptop, do you?
Mm-mm.
So, do you have an iPad or some kind of tablet?
Mm-mm.
So you need a book.
I've been walking around. I've got the desktop, and I got to be honest, Wendy, my back hurts because it's so heavy to just carry that everywhere I go. I bring it on the train with me, and I can't find a place to plug it in. Everyone gets mad. It's awful.
You need a solar desktop.
Yes, I do. Oh, birthday hint.
All right.
Birthday hint. All right. So here's a bunch of the changes in the new edition, the 2020 edition of your Guinness Book of World Records. What would you guess would be the most? This is one that you and I have debated back and forth forever. Finally, we have an answer. How many toothpicks a person has had in their beard?
Oh, God.
Now, here's the part you already know. The record is held by Joel Strasser of Lacey, Washington. I think everyone knows that. But how many toothpicks did Joel have in his beard?
432.
3,500.
Didn't that hurt?
It doesn't say, but I'm guessing yes. It took Joel Strasser of Lacey, Washington, bonus credit points, 3 hours and 13 minutes to successfully put 3,500 toothpicks and keep them in his beard.
Oh, God. Did you see the picture?
No. You know what? I didn't see the picture, but my guess is he looks like Pinhead.
Yeah, but it looks like he has an enemy on his face.
And with friends like that, Wendy.
Who needs
anemones?
All right, what's his name?
I'm going to be the Guinness Book of Record for the world's dumbest joke.
All right, look.
That's Joel Strasser.
You
Come
see
on.
Him? He's like a porcupine.
Oh.
That just makes me want to throw up, and so, I'm not really sure why.
Here's what's different about the reality of what he did as opposed to what I thought. He's got them sticking out like point end to his face.
Yes.
Sticking out. Like I thought he just wedged them in parts of his beard, but he's got it. It's like a pin cushion almost.
Yes, that's what he looks like. The human pin cushion.
Is he married? Do you think? I wonder if that gets him more girls or if that repels girls. What do you think?
What do you think?
If you saw a guy just walking down the beach and he had that going on in his beard, would you be tempted to find out more about that man or to say, that is definitely not the guy for me?
Okay, sometimes you know, if Jim doesn't shave, there might be, like, it's prickly.
Prickly.
That's weird we both went there.
Yep, prickly's the way to go.
You couldn't kiss this guy.
You wouldn't want to kiss that guy.
Right, so
you'd say, hey, dope, get all those toothpicks out of your beard. And then you get your smooch.
Smooch is the dumbest word. I just hate that word. Smooch.
If you look at my list of words to say today, prickly and smooch both on there, I'm winning.
This is why the Guinness Book of World Records is not good anymore, because these things are asinine.
I'm now being told that Prickly and Smooch was a TV cop show in the 70s that didn't do well.
Which one wore the sweater?
I can't remember. I cannot remember.
But seriously, these are like the dumbest things ever.
But they don't, like, you know how Ripley's Believe It or Not, their hook was, you can believe it or not. We don't care. We're still going to exist. Guinness Book just says, here's a fact. Here's the most that somebody's done. You can enjoy it or not enjoy it. It's up to you. This is unnecessary, but I give them points for doing it. It wouldn't be, I wouldn't waste any of my time doing it.
I'll take points away from him for doing it.
He loses points.
Yeah, it's stupid.
He loses points. All right, take a guess on this one, Wendy. What is the highest jump anyone has ever made on a pogo stick?
Ooh.
What do you think the highest?
20 feet. That's the first thing that came to my head.
I don't think you could do that. 20 feet? The highest jump so far on a pogo stick, although you've given pogo stickers, you've given them some sort of a
goal.
Wow, now I got to shoot for that. 15 feet, which is 3.40 meters. For those of you who are fans of the metric system, this was done by Dmitry Arzanov of Russia. He held this record recently, November 20th, not even a year ago, November 20th, 2018. He jumped on his pogo stick 11 feet high.
Now that's a little more exciting than putting toothpicks in your beard.
I would do both. Oh, I would say as long as I'm going to break a record, let's go for it. Let's do both. I'm going to load up my beard with toothpicks, and then I'm going to jump high on my pogo stick.
How many plain M&Ms can you stick up your nose? Because maybe you should go for
that. I'm not allowed to put M&Ms in my nose, Wendy.
That was only when you were little.
Oh, now I can?
It's your choice now.
I don't think I would. That one seems potentially dangerous. I would only break records that aren't potentially dangerous.
All right.
That's too dangerous. Why, do you know the answer for yourself?
No, I would not. I'm just saying, let's think of the dumbest things.
All of these are dumb. There's not one that we've done so far that I say to myself, now there's a person I admire.
The pogo stick one's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but you thought a guy could do 20 feet, so 11 feet, that would disappoint you. You'd go, that's the best anyone's ever done on a pogo stick?
I'm always disappointed.
You could be in for that. Who's been disappointed most right. times in her lifetime? Now, this is one that holds some intrinsic value to me for obvious reasons. The largest ping pong paddle.
Well, you could just make one.
I think, and I could be wrong on this, and I've been wrong. I've been wrong already today a couple of times. So this, I'm not breaking any records here and being wrong on this. But I think that if you play ping pong, there's a regulation size that your paddle can't be larger than.
So this wouldn't be a playable paddle, but
I don't think so.
Well, you could go get some balsa wood and make your own and put a rubbery nib thing on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make your own and say, oh, look, it's the world's largest paddle.
Because if you wanted to, you could have one so gigantic that you would just hold it up on your side of the table. And as soon as the ball came to you, all it would have to do is bounce off your humongous-sized paddle.
Yes.
You couldn't miss it. It'd be like having in hockey. I suggested this once to Joel Quinville, and he was not happy with my suggestion.
Can't wait.
To just find a gigantic guy to be your goalie who could cover the entire net.
And
so
was
that
square
there was
shaped?
No open space. And he should also be square-shaped. That's where Joel Quinville lost interest. Up until then, I had his attention. But as soon as I said, and this large man needs to be square-shaped, he was out.
I have an idea for you involving ping pong.
What?
Why don't you make your own type of shirt with a paddle-like material on it so you can just hit the ball like that, like with your chest?
What record would that break? I don't know if that would break
the dumbest ping pong game.
The dumbest, right. The dumbest guy on the planet.
The world's first ping pong shirt. These are
not
as weird.
I don't think a record can be the world's first. It has to be the biggest, the weightiest, right? They don't want the first.
All right.
Although, why doesn't somebody have a book of firsts? That's a good book. The first person to do whatever.
Write that book.
That's a good book. The largest ping pong paddle of all time measured 11 feet, 7.8 inches. That's how tall it was.
It was a prop for, Paul Bunyan or something.
For Ant-Man.
Yes.
The thrilling ping-pong conclusion of Ant-Man. This was achieved by a man named Rice Brands in Columbus, Ohio, in July of 2017. He crafted a ping-pong paddle. Although here they call it a paddle once, and then they also refer to it as a ping-pong bat. But I've never heard that phraseology before.
No one proofreads
anymore.
Ping pong
bat. Yeah, it was just over almost 12 feet high. Wendy, hi.
A ping pong bat
is... Is that what it's called in Britain, maybe? I picture that being an English way of referring to a paddle.
It's a professional ping pong racket with a case.
Really? Who uses them? Giants?
Table tennis rackets. They don't call them rackets.
I've never referred to it. No. It's always paddle.
Ping pong bat. Here, you can shop on...
And by the way, the people who take that game seriously, ping pong, never call it ping pong. They always call it table tennis. I'm the only one who calls it ping pong.
Because it's more fun to say.
Legally, there was a company that had trademarked ping pong, and you're not supposed to say ping pong unless it's that company's brand. I want to say Sears or whoever Sears was using. Craftsman?
Yes.
Does Craftsman have a line of ping pong tables? I don't know. But I learned the hard way that if you're playing it and you have any aspirations to play it professionally, you don't say ping pong. You must say table tennis. They get very, very upset.
Interesting.
Yeah. You'll probably know the answer to this one, Wendy. Who is or was, no, is, because it says currently, who is the most tattooed man?
Is it the guy from the Jim Rose?
You have
Enigma.
To guess.
Enigma.
That's what that would have been my guess.
He was in the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow.
Because I think he was at some point the world record holder, but he is no longer. Now it is a man named Lucky Diamond Rich, who, in addition to having his body, oh my God, 100% covered by tattoos. Is that possible?
Yeah.
100%?
Oh, yeah.
In addition to having that record, he is also, ready, a chainsaw juggler, a unicyclist, and a sword swallower. That's impressive. Lucky Diamond Rich.
Oh, I got to look him up.
He has spent over 1,000 hours having his body modified with hundreds of tattoos done by hundreds of artists. He began by having a full collection of colorful designs from around the world tattooed on his entire body, but not happy with that, Lucky then opted to have 100% of his body covered with black ink that includes his eyelids. Oh, would that be painful?
Yeah.
That would be, because you're using a needle. That's how you administer the ink. So
you're smart.
That's, well, I'm.
It's a gun, but yes, it's a needle that puts ink under your skin.
Also, the delicate skin between his toes down into his ears. His gums are also tattooed. He is now
and his penis.
Is it really?
If it's all over his body.
Yeah, I guess it would have to be. What would you have tattooed there?
A ping pong bat. Which, by the way, it says... A basic.
I'm going to feel dirty now every time I touch a ping pong paddle after that. Thank you. Every time now I reach for a ping pong paddle, I'm going to think of that. I'm going to get queasy. A little queasy. That's my rapper name.
Stop it.
Sorry.
A ping pong, a basic table tennis paddle is also known as a racket or bat.
I never heard of that once until today. Not even one time. Nope.
I'm trying to look at Lucky
Diamond. It seems so European, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like something we'd adopt in the States.
He is so tattooed that it just looks like his skin is blue.
Ugh.
Because there's no more...
There's no space to do anything
skin color,
now.
So he just looks...
What is it? What do you think his mom says when she sees this?
Oh, Lucky.
Lucky. What did you do? More... Tell me you didn't do your eyelids.
His real name is Gregory Paul McLaren.
I know.
Oh. But can you see this picture? He doesn't look tattooed. He looks like he has a few. Yeah, he's just so blue because he's filled with ink.
Why so blue, pal? That's what I would say to him. He does. He looks smurfy in almost.
Yeah. Whatever floats your boat.
I don't know if that works for everybody.
Doesn't float my boat.
Nope. It says here, Wendy, that he, Lucky Diamond Rich, not his real name. McLaren is his real name?
Did
you say?
Yes, it is Gregory Paul McLaren. He was born in New Zealand.
Oh, is he a New Zealander?
Mm-hmm.
He is now being tattooed with white designs on top of the black that's already there and colored designs on top of that, on top of the white.
Oh, so you can see it better. See? Because it wasn't right. Showing.
Because to see him, like if you were just walking down the street and you saw him, he just looks blue.
Yeah. He's got some bad teeth, but I think he filed them down to look lizard-like.
Worse than they were?
Yeah, I think he filed them down and...
Oh, you're right. I'm seeing that same picture. Oh, that's not good.
His earrings are too heavy because they have ripped his ear. I know that was probably intentional.
Yeah. Do you think he gets a lot of attention when he walks around town? I bet he does.
I bet once you see him a few times, though, it's like, just blends right in. Lucky.
Yep.
I just, whatever. It doesn't hurt anyone. If that's what you want to do, do it. But,
think about the commitment that goes into that. I mean, a lot of times people will do something, you change your hairstyle. You know, if you have long hair, you cut it short. You do something like that.
Or you color it differently.
Yeah. And people notice, or you hear stories all the time about guys who shave their beard and nobody notices. When you do this, when you cover 100% of your body with tattoos, you can't not notice it. It's impossible.
Here's a picture of him before his full body tattoo, and he has metal things over his teeth, so it looks like he has metal fangs.
He's got like demon teeth.
Yeah, like kind of like Jaws from...
Richard Kiel, right?
The Bond movie. Yeah. Isn't it kind of like that or no?
No. He had a lot of wiry stuff in his teeth because he made his teeth electrified.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
This guy went with the demon route where he's got like pointy edges to his teeth like a she-beast.
Have you ever said that word before?
I don't think I have. Not out loud.
Sounds funny coming
from you. I
think
it sometimes, but I never say
it. How do you tattoo your eyeball, someone wants to know?
Think about how painful that would have to be. There's no way. And, I mean, you've mentioned other body parts that would probably be even more painful. But I get the feeling this man enjoys some pain.
Yeah.
Don't you think? He looks like a guy who enjoys a little bit of pain. I'm just the opposite. I don't want any pain at all.
You do get used to it. I have one tattoo on a little above my ankle, and it's like, it didn't feel good, but it didn't really, like, it wasn't like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It just was, I kind of got used to it, and then when, he's like, oh, I'm finished, and I'm like, oh, really? I kind of just got my groove going where I could have kept going. But it's, I'm not saying that would feel good on, like, my cheek.
Right.
Or.
Right. Like, there's some parts of your body, yes. There's some parts of your body where you can imagine getting a needle would be, you just go, I can endure that. I can get through that. But then there's other body parts where you go, oh, no.
Too sensitive.
Don't do that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yes. Yes. I can't help but wonder when he shows up for the holidays, what mom says when he comes in.
Well, she knows it's happened.
She knows, right. But does she just give in and just go, oh, that kid. Oh.
Did you get any new ink, honey?
Right.
It's so weird because there were pictures of him before and he had various different looks with these tattoos and lots of colors. And then he's pretty much blue, even though he says it's black ink, but it looks like he's a Smurf.
Yeah.
And he's getting new designs over them. Like he's still going. So now he's totally addicted to the art of getting a tattoo.
You're right. You're right.
It's interesting.
I hope he didn't use printer ink because he'd be broke. That's the most expensive ink there is.
It is.
I would have to say to the tattoo artists, use any kind of ink you want, but not the printer ink.
How come printer ink has not gotten cheaper? Like, originally, I know it's like, oh, you could have your own printer at home, and printers were very expensive. Now, printers are cheaper than the cartridges. You can get a new printer for like $80.
I know.
And a new cartridge sometimes is $60.
And it's cheaper to go to a printing place and have your stuff printed than to do it at home.
I know.
Because of the printing ink.
I'm shocked, though, the cartridges haven't come down in price.
I know.
But the printers have.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy.
What do you think would be the most consecutive... here's one I never even thought could possibly exist, but then you go, oh, that's a good one, actually. The most consecutive pinky pull-ups.
What is a pinky pull-up?
All right, so you know how you have a bar at a health club and you do pull-ups on the, you do chin-ups or pull-ups on the bar? So here's a, the difference is that with this, you're using only your two pinkies to pull up your entire body weight.
No one can do that.
I just did pull-ups today. I can't even imagine doing
pinky pull-ups.
Pinky pull-ups. How many could somebody do?
Tazio Gavioli.
Oh, Tazio.
Of Italy.
He's really good at pinky pull-ups.
He's the best of all time, Kim.
Because I got a pinky ring. It made my pinkies nice and strong.
Could you please do that during the halftime show at Soldier Field tonight? That would be so much fun. Tazio Gavioli of Italy is the all-time world record holder when it comes to pinky pull-ups. He, on October 7th of 2018, we're coming up on the one-year anniversary, we should call him, did 36 of them.
Woo! That's a lot.
36!
I can't even imagine.
You can't have enough muscle in that part of your body to make that work. How?
You'd have to practice.
Strong pinkies.
Yeah. The strongest of all time.
I'd like to see video of that.
I can't imagine doing one. I'm trying to think of what
that'd be like. I couldn't even hang with your pinkies.
It would hurt.
It would be so painful. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Kim will give you the news, and then we have a couple more of these. These are from the new edition of the Guinness Book of World Records, the 2020 edition, out today. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We will get back to our discussion of the Guinness Book of World Records, but Kim, I'm curious. We've discussed on the show before, you are a fan of the Green Bay Packers.
A
are you noticing the climate a little bit different in the office today with the rivalry with the game tonight with the Bears and Packers? Yeah,
yes.
What are you experiencing?
Well, actually, I have to tell you what my son's coworkers did to him. He walked in. He runs his office.
Yeah.
And so he walked into his office today, and it was filled with orange and blue streamers, orange and blue balloons, and there was a picture. There's an adorable picture of him with his daughter, and in the frame it says, you know, best daddy in the world.
Yeah.
And they took a bear and just stuck it right over his face.
That's funny.
So
he's okay with this?
Oh, yeah. Well, and see, we're a split family. My daughter-in-law is a huge Bears fan. So this gets ugly.
Will you guys all be watching together tonight?
No,
or
they're all going to the game.
I'm not.
My daughter-in-law's not. All my boys and my husband are going. I'm not going, but because I have a 60th birthday party for a friend.
Oh.
By the way, White Sox up 2-0, bottom of the second over the Indians.
Bring in the score and
sorry.
I just left my phone.
That's a quick lead. That game just started a little while ago.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So, it's a big night for our family.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
But you're noticing, like, there's always excitement with the first game of the season, and there's always excitement when the Bears and Packers play, but it's a combination of everything all at once tonight.
Yeah, and being on the Rose Show, they just
skewer you a little bit?
A little bit.
I can imagine. What is this? I've heard it referenced several times in the last day or two, this NFL kickoff experience that's going on. Do you have any idea what that means?
It opens, the gates opened at noon. And there's concerts, there's like the NFL experience, there's lots going on. It's to celebrate the, you know, the NFL's 100th birthday.
Right.
So if you're down here today, it's totally worth it.
But what do you do? Like when you go there, what is that experience?
Well, if it's anything like what I've been to the Super Bowl twice, and they have this fan experience, and they have all kinds of, you know, different activities you can do, stuff for the kids.
Yeah.
They're having concerts. They're having I'm trying to remember who. Meghan Trainor and Meek Mills, I think, are doing a concert.
Yeah.
I think maybe.
Oh.
Chance the Rapper.
Chance is going to be there.
I think he is.
Yeah.
So that's later on, but today you can just kind of mull around, look at the
exhibits that'll be fun.
And activities. Yeah. And it's a gorgeous
Any
day.
Souvenirs to purchase, would you imagine?
Well, I would think you could buy a cheese head when you're down there.
And the Packers, just so I understand this, because I can't tell, they're amused by that, right? They're not upset by that.
That's
fun
to
them.
It's part of the culture, of course.
Because normally, if you're called a name derogatorily, you wouldn't embrace it. You would repel it. But for some reason in Wisconsin, the word cheesehead, people are like, yeah, that's fine.
That's a term of endearment.
But right. Isn't that strange?
A term of endearment.
That's so funny.
So it's the NFL kickoff experience. Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called, yes.
It's in Grand Park.
Richard Dent is going to be there for autographs. Jim McMahon's going to be there.
Oh, nice.
Matt Forte, Charles Tillman. Oh, we need to talk to Peanut. He made his own boat and sailed it for charity.
Yeah.
Michael Vick and Chad Johnson are going to be there. Music artists, Twitch streamers, and fans will compete in the first ever the Entertainment Arts Sports Madden NFL Twitch Prime Crown Cup.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that they're having a champion, like
yes.
the best
like video
players
games.
Of Madden
yeah.
square yes. off? Yeah.
Performance schedule is listed below. Rhapsody with no H at 3 p.m.
Oh, no H.
Because rap, not...
Oh, even better. I knew there was some meaning behind it. I just couldn't find it. Now it makes sense.
Megan Trainor, 515.
What letter will she not be using?
I think she doesn't have an H in her.
Oh.
No, she does.
Oh, she does.
Oh.
But then she's Megan Trainor. With an H.
Yep.
Meek Mill. I don't know who that is.
I think he's a rapper.
At 625.
He's a rapper.
He's a rapper. Right. What does he rap? What is his song, Jazz?
You guys wouldn't know it. I'm not even going to do that with you guys.
Right.
Not in a bad way, but...
No, that's no. true. If
that was
know,
just complete and utter disappointment. I'm not even going to waste my time with you two.
Can you hit us with a little bit of it?
It's kind of explicit.
Okay. Oh, you yeah. can't play it on the air?
Yeah.
Too sweary? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sweary.
Hmm?
That's all I
no
have.
No chance?
I don't have him listed here.
Chance was going to be there. Maybe
he'll come by.
He usually does.
But there's a
Benny
lot of...
Benny Goodman?
Lawrence Welk.
Fans will have the chance.
Guess what? I'm back.
To take a photo with the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Oh.
The event will have a full collection of 53 Super Bowl rings to visit.
That's impressive.
Cool. It is pretty cool. And then I think they're doing, like, if you don't have tickets to the game, you can stay in there
yeah,
and watch the game.
Yeah, you can watch the game, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of fun.
It's going to be on the big screens.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
They're kicking off the season. It's the 100th season. All the buildings have 100. Have you
right.
seen those
I
with
did
the
see
lights?
That. Yep.
So it's kind of fun that they're doing something.
I think it's great.
I'm not
are you
doing
gonna
any
of
it.
Wear the 100 glasses, Wendy, where the zeros are your eyes?
Yes.
That makes the game more fun.
I have a friend who has season tickets who will be going to the game with her family tonight, and she's pretty psyched, and I think she's already there.
Yeah. Because
they really were scaring people. All electronic
yeah.
tickets only.
Yeah, and I think, you know, tailgating, I remember that if you want to tailgate at Soldier Field, the gates open around 3, I think.
Yeah.
Because the game's at 7:20.
Do you know, I don't know if
so
you either.
So 3:20. How convenient for us, 7:20.
So in the future for the Bears, will you not have, will it be totally ticketless
well,
at some
it's
point?
It's ticketless that, Cubs.
As of
yeah.
today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, for us Packer fans, we're a little slower. We do have paper tickets still.
Oh
not
do.
The cheese tickets anymore?
No.
Not the tickets made of cheese.
You could munch on those during the game.
On our way in.
So is it just, is it the honor system where you go and you say, no, I swear, I have
I really
a ticket.
I really am a season ticket holder.
Yeah, you got to let me
yeah,
in.
No, you have a paper ticket, but I think everybody's going to the paperless.
So you'll have to scan your phone, like much like you do on an airplane now. You just scan your phone as you're entering.
Yes,
yeah.
But did you, I don't know if you heard it on the Cochrane show this morning, but someone from the Bears was on explaining this. In the, you could very frequently, if you had an event ticket on your phone, you could take a screenshot and then scan that. This is ever changing. The barcode is like changing and updating every few minutes.
So there's no way to fake your way through
right,
it.
Right. Because they're trying to do away with, you know, fake
right.
tickets.
Now, Roe did get some paper tickets.
Yeah.
Oh,
he
so they
got,
exist.
Well, there are some, but they kind of, look down. They don't really want you to have it. And so he thought he may have gotten bogus
counterfeit
tickets,
yeah.
but he didn't because there's what they described as an RIF in it, which is like some kind of a chip to scan.
Yeah.
So we had Max Weisvez on yesterday from Gold Coast Tickets, and he
yeah.
explained exactly what it is. But really, they want everybody to be paperless.
But you know how, like, for a long time, part of the fun of attending a milestone game like tonight's
saving
game is
ticket.
You'd save the ticket.
Right.
Sometimes you could put it in glass or plastic and keep it forever, display it. So that's just going to be a thing
we
of the past.
We have our Super Bowl Packer tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe for
I would
that,
miss
they'll
out on
print
that.
A commemorative.
Yeah. And you can print your barcode.
I guess so.
I mean, it still says
good?
On. Well, if that's what everybody does now, that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah. There was a time, the backstory you need to know on this was my dad's company had season tickets to both the Cubs and the White Sox. So we
okay.
went to a ton of games. So we got notice. There was one year that the White Sox, it was appearing that they were going to be in the playoffs, right? So we got notice that we could purchase X amount of playoff tickets. So then we got sent tickets to games that didn't exist, but it was the White Sox in the playoffs, and it was the first time they would have been in the playoffs in years. So to look at those tickets was very exciting to go, wow, the White Sox in the playoffs, that's great. So at some point when they weren't, they said to get a full refund, you needed to send those tickets back, right? But I kept a couple. I kept two of them because I thought it's worth it to lose the money to just have playoff tickets, even though these games didn't exist. That's kind of cool. I can keep them, and if I want to sell them later on, I can. But I kept getting mail from them saying, hey, seriously, send those tickets back or you're not going to get your money. But I kept sending back going, I don't want the money. I just want to have these souvenir tickets. It was worth it, you know? They were like $40 each, so it was $80 to have two of these tickets. But I thought it was really cool to have playoff White Sox tickets when they hadn't been in the playoffs in years and years.
It's like the Led Zeppelin show.
Is that when they won the World Series? Or
No,
they didn't
that
play.
Year they ended up not even being in it.
Oh, okay.
That's go on.
Well, like the Led Zeppelin tickets that were issued and then John Bonham died, so
right.
Those that show
it
never went
exist.
On.
Right.
You could send them back in for a refund, but everybody wanted to keep those.
Yeah, it was so such a valuable keepsake.
2-1, Cleveland Indians caught up a little bit.
All right.
Do you still have those tickets?
Yeah, I have them somewhere. I don't know where they are, but I do have them somewhere.
Do you rather wish you had your $80 back?
No.
Okay.
It was just cool. I kept them on my dresser for a long time, but then
Did you put it on the mirror?
Yeah.
Like stick it in that little area.
Yeah, that's the reason that they have that ridge in the
right.
mirror is to put tickets in there. all right, so here's a couple more. If you weren't listening earlier, the Guinness Book of World Records 2020 edition comes out today. The Guinness Book of World is a fan experience is going on in the park right now if you want to go down and do that. How about this one, Wendy? I don't even know what this means. The most weight lifted by Atlas stones. I have no idea what Atlas stones are.
I don't either.
The most weight that has been lifted by Atlas stones.
They were introduced in 1986. They're five heavy spherical stones, which increase in weight from 100 to 160 kilograms. They need to be placed on top of five high platforms that span a 16 to 33 foot long course. They're just varying stones. I think you see them on like American Gladiator stuff. There's stones that are just lined up in there. It's just a heavy weighted stone, like a medicine ball, but it's cement.
They look like, a medicine ball, a giant bowling ball, maybe.
Of rock.
And it's made entirely of cement?
Yeah.
All right. The most, and when would this, is this an Olympic event, do you know? I've never heard of this.
Just people lift them. Like, you know, this is in 1986. I never heard of them either. Maybe it's not here in the States too much.
Oh, maybe.
It's like a kettlebell without a handle and way heavier.
The most that have been lifted, the most Atlas stones by a woman for 1 minute.
Nice stones.
1,189 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. She held that for a minute?
A minute.
Was her name Helga?
No. Michelle Kinney of the United States.
God love her.
Did this in Venice, California on February 1st of 2017. 1,189.98 pounds.
It's a half
a
ton.
For 1 minute.
Jeez.
For a minute.
Wow. You know, they say you can do anything for a minute. I don't think I can do
this.
That for a minute.
Not
so,
this.
I wonder if they're called Atlas stones because wasn't it Atlas who held the world up?
On his shoulders.
So it looks like you would be holding...
Oh.
So an Atlas stone.
Right.
That would be my guess. If not, they should use that marketing.
I'm thinking you're right. It makes sense. Here's another one I'm not entirely sure what it means. What is the largest humanoid vehicle? I don't know what that refers to. The largest humanoid vehicle measures at 27.9 inches in length, 13 feet 1 inch in width. It was achieved by a man in Japan whose name I can't even come close to pronouncing correctly, so I won't. But I think to fully appreciate this one, we need to know
what a humanoid vehicle is,
because I don't know what that means.
I'm looking at it, but I don't have a definition for it. It just looks like a...
Like a car, right?
It's like a robot car.
Oh.
Humanoid robot carries two passengers. Humanoid... I don't really know. Like a transformer, maybe?
I'm still impressed by it, but not as impressed if I understood what a humanoid vehicle was. Did you just say transformer, Wendy? Because here's a transformer world record. The largest collection of Transformers memorabilia.
Bill left.
The largest... I don't have any Transformers stuff.
Oh.
I don't even have a single one. The largest collection of Transformers memorabilia is 2,111 items, achieved by Louis Georgiou of Manchester, UK. This on May 11th of 2017. That doesn't seem like a lot to me.
I was going to say, I bet your collection's bigger than that.
I've got between 20 and 30,000 pieces. Not all, none Transformers, but... I don't know. That doesn't seem that... I would have thought the number would have been bigger. What is the fastest time to eat a bowl of pasta?
I'm guessing it's probably something ridiculous.
40 seconds.
It's very fast. 26.69 Damn. Seconds. The fastest time of anyone eating a bowl of pasta is 26.69 seconds. This achieved by Michelle Lesko.
Oh, she's my cousin.
At Oregano's Pizza Bistro in Scottsdale, Arizona. I wonder if she employs a similar technique to the hot dog eaters who just wet everything down so that it just quickly slides down the throat. There's no biting, there's no chewing. It's just quickly get it down your throat.
I would like to know what kind of pasta it was because...
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's spirals or... Because if you have
rotini
like,
or spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
which one?
Or maybe it's the short little rigatonis.
Oh.
Ditalini.
I bet it's not cavatappi because that's all twisty.
Yes.
And that would take longer. I would imagine.
And if you're doing spaghetti, you can swirl it on your fork so you can get the whole bowl on your fork and just...
Yep. Wendy, you should be a pasta-eating coach because that's a great tip. You should share that with Michelle Lesko.
I don't like spaghetti.
I'm not thrilled with spaghetti either.
Me either.
It's not enough pasta.
Right.
I like a big piece of pasta, rigatoni, mostaccioli, even a penne will do. But the spaghetti and angel hair, same thing.
I'm with you all the way.
People angel hair, my kids love angel hair, but to me it's just too light.
Yeah.
Right. You need
you want
a
more density.
Bite.
Yes.
People, now I'm Italian. I'm half Italian and a lot of my family members like the spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
You are the only one, the two of you, I'm
right.
In such a
Do you like fettuccine?
I like fettuccine.
It's a little flatter, a little wider.
Yeah.
A little heartier than spaghetti.
I still like individual pieces, but you're the only two who've ever agreed with me on this.
Yeah.
I do like fettuccine because I feel like with fettuccine versus spaghetti, the sauce will stick to the fettuccine
right,
better.
You're right. Although I like the Alfredo sauce on my fettuccine.
Yeah, no,
the lighter
I'm not
sauce. No,
sauce
not
person.
Great. No. Longest, since we're talking about pasta, longest hair on a teenager.
What? How does
you mean like?
Because sometimes you'll find a
on
hair
their
in your
body
pasta.
Or on their head.
One hair or head of hair?
A head of hair.
Cousin it.
This is a lot of hair.
Down to their butt.
A woman, no, and beyond. Ready? Nilanshi Patel of India has recorded hair on her head of 5'7".
And what? How tall is she? Four foot two.
You know what? That is the best question, and
she
it is not
to,
addressed.
She has to, like, wear it in a bun.
You'd I mean, have, you, right. You'd
because
have
I'm 5'1". I would drag 6 inches
right.
on the ground.
It would be like a train. You know how if you have your wedding dress and there's a train behind it? Her hair would be like a human...
Like Morticia Adams, kind of, but...
Yes.
Is she a teenager?
She is a teenager. They don't say how old she is or how tall she is. They're very... They're being very secretive about the facts about Nilanshi Patel, but only saying that she is the all-time world record holder for longest hair, 5'7".
That's crazy.
That's too much hair. And I will give you one more. No, I got a couple more. How much time do we have? I'll either give you one or two more. The tallest hat?
Abe Lincoln's.
No, not even close, Wendy. The tallest hat measures 15'9". This was achieved.
This is stupid. I mean, really, that's what I'm saying. Some of these, longest hair is one thing. You can get your own big hat.
Right.
There's I mean, go to Disney World.
Right.
You can buy a big hat.
I don't know if you guys watched any of the town hall meetings last night.
No, I missed
But I was watching one of them, and there was a guy who was asking a question, and he had a hat that was about 2.5. It was a red, white, and blue like an American
Uncle
flag looking hat. Yes and no. It was Uncle Sam had kind of a straight up
right.
hat. So his was more like the Mad Hatter wore, but it was all red, white, and blue themed.
Great look.
And he asked a very serious question about climate change. And I was watching with my wife, and I said, once you decide to go with that hat, doesn't any question,
right?
It delegitimizes, because his question was a really good question, but all I could focus on was the guy's hat. So, I don't know. You have to be picky and choosy when you're going to go with the hat that deliberate.
How big is the hat?
This guy, Odilian Ozar of Tampa, Florida's hat was 15 feet 9 inches.
Great.
But again, he didn't really achieve anything earth-shattering. No. He found himself a big hat and he put it on his head.
Did you guys read that book to your kids? It was about the man with, I don't know, I forget the name of the book, but he wore a big hat and then he took off the hat and he had all these different other hats under his hat.
No.
And so I'm trying.
Oh, that's a great
Caps for Sale, I think it was, or something like that. My kids love that book.
So the whole storyline was
had a bunch of different hats under his hat.
Oh, that's excellent.
I gotta look that up.
That's excellent. All right, we must take a break. Kim, thank you very much for hanging out with us. We'll say goodbye next.
All right, Bertrand is going to be on with John Williams coming up after 1 o'clock, the stream, WGN Extra. I thought we were going to talk to John Williams.
We might be, Wendy.
He's coming.
We'll play our theme until he comes.
Yeah.
Because I just like it, and it's fun. And
right. We'll give him time. Oh, here it is. You are schooled in many languages.
Au revoir.
Keep going.
What adios. Else do you have?
Yeah.
Ahoy. I learned today on the Steve Cochran Show.
Ta-ta. What language is that?
Hoity-toity.
The language of rich. What's coming up on John's show, Wendy?
Toodles. That's another one. I don't know. I mean, we could just sign off and throw it to news.
Yeah.
Ken Smith is waiting in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom.
Patiently. He is.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
We're waiting patiently for John Williams. Jazz, is he coming?
What John does, though, is he creates demand. John's very smart in that respect. You and I, when the crosstalk happens, we're just in here. It's no big deal. But John builds an excitement and enthusiasm. I love that about him. Hey, John.
Hey.
He builds an excitement and an enthusiasm. That's what Bill just said about you.
I just said that of you.
I'm sorry. So late here.
You're fine.
16 seconds after.
You're all right.
So I'll go real quick.
Okay, what do you got coming up?
Talk to Adam Hogue. He does this, I don't know if you guys heard about it, there's a Bears game in town.
He's
tonight.
The Bears insider, John.
The number of Green Bay Packer jerseys and stuff I've been seeing downtown.
It's alarming.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I like our chances in terms of crowd, but...
Yeah. We'll be fine.
They're going to represent.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that with him and the NFL season in general coming up. The Mincing Rascals just recorded their podcast, and there were a whole host of things we were kicking around. We'll kind of preview a little of that with you. Oh, and the She Shed lady from the State Farm commercial.
Oh, you got her on?
I love
she's
her.
From, she's local,
in
right?
This first half hour. She's from Englewood.
How about that?
Seven siblings, and she's like...
She's famous.
She is. She says wherever she goes, people go, She Shed!
Oh, please tell her I love her.
The world does. That commercial has been viewed over 1 million times voluntarily on YouTube.
Wow.
It's like, who downloads commercials?
Right.
That's a funny story. She's going to tell us that in this first half hour.
I want a She Shed.
You deserve one.
Thank you.
Yeah.